You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The kitchen is never messier than after making pancakes with kids.
Yeah, it's a great take. Baking a
Are you
cake
a waffle guy or
too.
A pancake guy?
I'm a pancake guy. It's just easier, right? You get the big surface.
I'm a both guy.
You can only do one waffle at a time, whereas you can lay out a bunch if you got the flat top.
Do you guys put chocolate chips in your waffles or pancakes or no?
I do like a good waffle station where you make your own waffle.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden,
it just takes up a lot of real estate
when somebody
in the
else
kitchen.
Is cleaning it. Yeah,
I like making it. I like that the waffle actually has all these crevices that really absorb the maple
I love
syrup.
A good crevice.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite of the stations? I mean,
the whipped cream.
Really?
Yeah, because the whipped cream is
the
not
the waffle
something...
station is your favorite of the stations, though, I'm saying?
With the continental breakfast?
Like the omelet station See, is not I, a better station? I feel like it's a better station.
I go overrated on the omelet station. You always get one made, but do you finish it?
I always get one made.
I you
always...
have a bunch of stuff. You have a smorgasbord of stuff.
I'm viewing the buffet stops, the stations on the buffet train. And the omelet train, the omelet stop is always the first stop I make. I go there first. Do I finish the omelet? Depends on the omelet. I mean, you could ruin an omelet.
You're
know?
Giving up way too much real estate to that omelet. You don't go there first.
No, that's why it's a different plate, Chris.
I know, you have multiple plates. I just feel like the omelet is on the back burner. Give me all the other stuff. Give me the sweets. Give me the bacon. Give me the sausage. It's like the omelet, fine. I'll make one just because I gotta, but right. It's not the highlight of anything.
We know what the worst station is, right? The juice station.
Yeah,
the juice station.
Get out of here with your cranberry juice.
Oh, my God. In the morning?
Yeah.
Really? Why? Who does this?
I feel like Woody loves a good juice station.
He did perk up when Mike said
he
that.
He did.
I was confused. Like, why are we having to go with the juice station?
That's your balanced breakfast. Cranberry juice. Neat. A little cereal bar. The cereal dispenser, not a good invention.
Sad. It's so sad.
Sad. It always gets snagged.
It's an experience, though. It's a vastly inefficient way to deliver cereal, but I enjoy the twisting and the crunching. It makes a good sound.
Wait, why is it sad to you guys? I don't find the cereal station to be sad. I find it to be delightful.
Because
I love
it's
that
always-
station.
They're always bad. Like, you go to eat it, and it's not what it would be at home. So you're eating, and you're like, why am I eating this now?
Are we talking about the cereal station that has all the little boxes of cereal stacked up, or the ones where it has the little thing where you, like, pull the levy out and
it's
a bunch
big
of cereal? Because it is a big difference.
You're right.
If it's the cardboard boxes, sad. If it has them all, like, a bunch of cereals in the thing, and I can open a lever, and a bunch of cereal falls in my bowl, much better cereal
you
station.
You like that. You like the dispenser.
I'd rather the cardboard box, unless you're, like, saving it for later.
No one has ever made a good cereal dispenser. They're all Kirkland brand.
Yeah, they are.
They all struggle through the process. In the delivery of cereal, it's one purpose in life. It struggles with it.
It gets caught.
I have not found a fluid cereal dispenser.
It should be pre-portioned, right? The dispenser? Mm-hmm.
But it's
you
not.
Should just turn it on. It fills up your bowl, bang. Then it stops automatically.
Yep.
Also, the cereal
station.
No
one's invented that yet?
The cereal station bowls are also way too small.
Way too small.
You've never had a bowl of cereal at a cereal station that is reminiscent of a bowl of cereal you've had at
the hotels I stay at. They're plastic bowls. I mean, they're like, they're styrofoam bowls. Styrofoam the saddest bowls possible.
Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah. The styrofoam bowls. Get out of here.
You pour the milk and it instantly splashes everywhere because there's nowhere for it to get caught.
You see, right. I think the problem is the milk.
Splash.
The milk is not as cold as the milk you drink at home. The milk is just kind of sitting out there. And the milk makes your cereal.
I was just going to say, that's the big issue with the juice. I don't want this room temperature orange juice.
Right. Stick it in the fridge.
Hold on. Right. You're not, getting ice at the you're not going milk carton here, Stugatz? You're doing dispensed milk? No.
Yeah, but even the milk carton is
it's
not.
It's cold. It's cold, man. Come on.
Not
it's
in the fridge. Places.
What about like a jug of milk that's in a.
Ice bucket?
It's in an ice bucket.
Like it's champagne.
Ah, I love it. It has a 2% sign, a whole sign on the thing.
Better than
the
refrigerator.
The whole, right?
That's a more ideal scenario.
Look at me.
It's more ideal than the refrigerator because if it's a continental breakfast, people are always opening up the refrigerator and thus the cold air escapes and none of the food gets to stay cold that's in the fridge. Put it in that tub of ice.
Wait, so we're saying the cereal station is the saddest?
Juice or juice.
Juice
or
bar.
The juice bar, yeah.
I love
juice
a bagel bar, station. I love
except
the toast.
For Woody.
I love the toaster where it goes on a ride King and then rides down the slide.
That's the best,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. 1,000%. That is the goat toaster, right? It's always on point.
The goaster, for sure.
Flips it over, flips it out.
Yep. No, like when you get the one where it's like the four slices thing and it's supposed to be wide enough for a bagel, but it never is. The bagel gets caught. And then you get part of the bagel is completely untoasted and another part is burnt. It's black. I hate those toasters so much. So when I see the amusement park one, I'm like, we're in for a good toast.
What about
day.
The bagel cutter that you like put it in the little contraption
the
and then you like
the best
guillotine
thing ever.
It.
The guillotine, the bagel
one
guillotine.
One of the great inventions of all time.
Yeah, man.
Seriously. The
bagel guillotine.
Changed the game.
I make the bagel have last words. Like, right, it's like, any last words?
I'm a simple man, but a conveyor belt always makes everything better. That's why when Quiznos had its time in the sun.
What happened to Quiznos?
You know what happened? Subway said, you toast them? Okay, we're going to have toasters too. And
put it up. Put it on the poll, please. Does a conveyor belt make everything better? I think Mike's right about that.
Chris.
We're simple men here.
Checkmate. It's like when Instagram decided to do stories. It was like, okay, you have this little cute thing, Snapchat? Okay, we're going to do it, and we have way more followers and, you know, subscribers. And that's it. Checkmate. There were more Subways than Quiznos. Quiznos thing was like, you want that soggy, cold-ass sub, or do you want this hot, toasted one? And for a while, we were like, yeah, man, I want that hot toasted one. And then Subway said, so you bought yourself some toasters, huh? You think that's your core competitive advantage? Get out of town.
Is Quiznos still a corporation? Because I know that there are still franchises. But
Quiznos?
Does it operate the way that Bennigan's did in that corporate shutdown, but there were always these Bennigan's that kind of still did well, and so they remained open as Bennigan's? Kind of like Blockbuster. There's like the Blockbuster in Alaska.
Right, there's one.
Is that what happened to Quiznos?
Bend, Oregon, I believe, is the last Blockbuster. Yeah. It went from a high of 4,700 locations in 2007 to just 1,500 as of May of 2018.
That's still a lot.
They went to bankruptcy. They're out of bankruptcy now. So it's around. They're back? Yeah, it's just not what it was.
I went to a Quiznos not too long ago because there's one in Westchester, and I'm like, I haven't been to a Quiznos in years. And then I went there, and because it wasn't part of this corporate structure.
Or they have their own menu?
It's just, there was a certain standard in 2006 that Quiznos aspired to that I kind of felt this one had long forgotten.
They're mailing it in?
Yeah,
really?
It's only 12 miles away from here. I'm going today.
Quiznos?
I haven't had Quiznos in 7 years.
They
miss
say
it.
Permanently closed. What are you talking about? I'm looking at permanently closed.
But there's one in Westchester.
I see it here. It's open. Adjacent to 7 p.m.
I see him around. Yeah.
Adjacent to a storage facility.
You see him around?
Roy, did you like Quiznos?
Yeah, it's very good. I used to go to lunch there.
What was your go-to? Yeah, there was one by the station.
There was one in Hollywood.
Oh, there's one at the airport.
There's like a turkey and ranch and Swiss or something. There was like some turkey one that I would always get. Oh,
Bacon carbonara, I think that was the sandwich.
We got the black Angus steak.
Oh, and that one too.
I stopped going to that Quiznos because there was one time like a hair in my sub. And it's not the most sanitary thing, right? The way that they cook the chicken is just like, we have this kind of warm water that we'll just like dump everything into a plastic receptacle, and then Just dunk it into the hot water a little bit.
I nailed it. Turkey ranch Swiss on the menu.
I'm You're looking getting that at it. Today, aren't
it's,
you?
It's no longer there.
The you Black shut Angus. Your mouth.
The Black Angus is not there.
Do you remember the commercial campaign that they had right when they were about to pop off? It was like, we love these Tabs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. People still do that on TikTok. Tabs. Right? With the eyes and the mouth. Yeah. I don't like
Bugged
that.
Out.
I don't like that.
Did you see that clip, coincidentally, of bugged out people, of J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert talking about the Golden State Warriors?
I did not watch it. I saw the clip circulating.
You don't even need to see it with the sound on to know exactly how high those dudes were.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Kevin Love, by the way. He got married, had the wedding. Everybody was there. LeBron said congratulations, had like 7 pictures. One of them was
he had to make it about him, LeBron. No, oh, dude, that post, it's like, does. Relax, okay? You went to a wedding.
Chris,
it's not your day.
Chris, one picture was of Kevin Love and the bride. Everything else was either him or Lobo's tequila.
Right. It's like him in a stoic position watching the ceremony. It's like, amazing. Get over yourself, man.
Yeah, but if you invite LeBron to your wedding and he shows up to the wedding, he instantly becomes the story. It does become his day.
I think I sent him a
That's
text.
That's not Kevin Love.
I think I sent him a text day of, hey, my day.
Dial it back?
Yeah.
Right. You've had plenty of your days. Yeah. Today is, well, it's my wife's day.
Yeah.
Right. It's not your day,
Enough
LeBron.
With you today.
Right. Mm-hmm. But LeBron, he can't resist. It's always his day.
Or maybe he tells him the opposite. I want a lot of attention on this wedding. Turn it up today.
Hey, Kev.
Hold on. Okay.
If you invite me, make no mistake about it. It's my day.
Question,
It's
though.
Not hers. It's not yours. It's my weekend. Okay?
Stugatz, let me ask you this because you're a business
Get
man.
Me gifts.
If you're posting something that's congratulating someone on a wedding, on a birthday, whatever it is, yes or no, is it okay to also include an advertisement for your product? Because this is part of the congratulations to Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Is just that. I'm holding up to the camera right there. It's just Lobos Tequila.
Oh, God.
So it's not a picture of him and Cam winning. They won a title together, right?
Yep, they did.
Is that a picture of them holding up Larry O'Brien together, celebrating together, having a moment together? It's just LeBron's product?
It's just a table with Lobos Tequila sitting there and a glass with a little bit.
This is actually a heady play by Kevin Love. Alcohol is expensive at a wedding. He's like, hey, LeBron, I'm looking for a tequila. Can you, a little and then boom, free tequila at your wedding.
LeBron brings the tequila. Channing Frye brings the wine because he's a wine guy.
Texting all the boys.
Yeah. Right.
We need a vodka guy. I think, was Ryan Reynolds invited? Doesn't he have a vodka?
Just because of that. Yeah. I think he's got a tequila. Actually.
I think I'm going to do that now. I'm going to start.
I think his is a gin.
What do you think LeBron, this is a pressure shit. When you're LeBron James, what do you give as a gift at a wedding?
Lobos Tequila.
You show up.
No, you cannot just give your free product that you got for free.
I don't think LeBron gives gifts.
That is bullshit. He definitely gets a gift. You have to over-gift if you're LeBron because you're LeBron.
No, I think the gift is, hey, I'm peeling away. I'm a busy guy. I can do anything I want in the world. I'm going to spend a weekend at your wedding.
You know what I bet he gets?
That's the gift.
I bet he gives... like a 18-wheeler truck backs up to your house full of Nike. Okay. Full of Nike shit.
Well, you think Kevin Love needs Nike shit?
But I'm just saying, I don't know, but like what? I mean, I guess that's LeBron going to a sponsor again and getting shit for free. I'm like, but like if there's a, I feel pressured to give gifts at weddings. LeBron has to feel pressure.
LeBron gave him a ring.
That's true. Before he could give his wife a ring,
right.
LeBron gave him his first ring.
Correct.
50 Cent and Diddy own vodka, so you can invite
them. Oh, there you go. Ciroc, yeah. We'll get Ciroc in here.
Anthony's saying in the chat that LeBron claims he's cheap. If a rich person says they're cheap, they're lying.
He was using Pandora, the free one with the ads on it.
That can't be true.
It's 100%
There's
true.
There's no way.
It's 100%. He wouldn't pay the $4.95 or whatever it was a month for Pandora.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Maybe like a $50,000 check. LeBron is showing up with a gift, man.
I'm telling you, LeBron feels like he's the gift. I'm at your wedding. I am the gift.
Ray Romano went to my wedding. Well, his wife did. Really? That's like an example. Yeah, you don't know that? Like, he's like in my family.
Right.
Yeah, he wasn't there. He was shooting The Irishman. Mm-hmm. But
well, that sucks.
Yeah, but he showed up and he brought a gift. My point is, he doesn't like.
What gift did Ray Romano give you?
I mean, I think I might have said it before. It was a good gift. I mean, $2,500.
Just cash?
Not and bad. I hardly know him.
Not that thoughtful.
Yeah.
Not that thoughtful.
That was by far the biggest number outside of like our parents.
So Greg Cody outbid Ray Romano? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, he paid for a substantial part of the wedding.
Well, there you go. Man.
Uncle Dick also showed up with a big gift.
I think if you're Greg, you ask Chris, hey, who wrote the biggest check? And then you have to exceed it by like a dollar, you know?
Should I bleep out how much he gave? Like, would I just expose... We good?
That Ray Romano's a cheap bastard?
Is
that what you're worried about? I don't know. I might believe it. We're fine.
2,500 seems a little light for Ray.
I know.
I think he made like 10 grand.
All right, now I'm definitely
episode.
Bleeping it.
Stugatz, especially, he wasn't even there. He can't even do the LeBron thing of the gift was me. He wasn't even there, so he's got to go above and beyond.
See you next
so
week, the buyout Ray. Clause.
Good thing I'll see him next week.
Because I gave Levitar the option of showing up to my kids' bat mitzvah and giving them a normal gift, or don't show up and you have to do the buyout clause, and he is putting them through college.
Well, his wife and daughter were there, so it wasn't like they totally didn't show up.
Right.
What? No, but he wasn't there.
So I'm thinking if they wouldn't have showed up, would I have gotten more?
Oh. Mike, do you feel like LeBron has to bring a gift? Help settle this. Is LeBron
a huge gift? LeBron,
if you invite LeBron to your wedding and you're Kevin Love, is LeBron just merely showing up the gift, or does he also have to bring an actual gift?
Always has to bring a gift. Of course. That's why if you get to the level of wealth and celebrity that LeBron is, you should just have a personal assistant in your employ that says, "Hey, get Kevin something nice," right, and it's all taken care of, and all you got to worry about is LeBron James is showing up to the open bar.
Now, guys, I want to read the caption, and then I want to read Kevin Love's reply to the caption under the slideshow about the wedding.
So this is LeBron's post with his
tequila on there.
Okay, what's it called, by the way?
Lobos.
Lobos tequila? Yeah. Okay.
Three words. Oh. Man, what a moment in time I'll never forget. ! Seeing my brother marry his best friend was caps incredible! ! I love you guys more than you'll ever imagine, and I'm always here for you guys. ! Everyone, welcome to the stage, Mr. and Mrs. Kevin Love! Clap hands. P.S. Katie, you're the poop emoji, fire emoji. brown heart, at Kevin Love, at the young ladies, I guess, at Kate Bach.
Very nice. Nice right. post.
Kevin Love's reply. I love you, brother. Whatever you guys need, we are there for the Jameses.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel nice like moment. Kevin Love, his response was a little intense. Like, LeBron wrote a very generically nice thing, right? Like, the thing that we...
No, brown heart, poop emoji, fire. That's okay, not generically nice.
Good point.
So over and above the Call of Duty.
And perhaps a little over the top.
Right? Duty. But when he says, whatever you guys need, we are here for the Jameses. And I'm imagining like LeBron in a Taken type situation. And it's like, there's only one person I can call. He picks up the phone and Kevin Love says, "Hey, Bron, how's it going?" "I'll be there in 20 minutes. And then just snaps the phone shut, heads to the airport. "Babe, what's going on?" "I have to go." Like, we promised on our wedding day that we'd be in this together.
I've always envisioned that. Like,
we have to be there for the Jameses.
Yeah, so that she suits up in her jumpsuit. And they got Kevin Love jumpsuit. And then they go to the airport and like they're in a plane, and there's like, "All right, our drop zone is approaching. You ready, babe?" "I'm ready." They kiss, and they jump in the night. They got night vision goggles, and the parachutes come out. They ditch the parachutes. They land somewhere in the Balkans, and they coordinate with LeBron. LeBron
really thought this one out, huh?
Oh, man, it's all coming to me.
Why are you making the love sound to me? Like,
because they're there for the Jameses, whatever they need.
Yeah. I've always wanted to push that hypothetical out to the extremes. Like, after I check into a hotel, "Hey, whatever you need, let us know."
Right.
And you just call them at 4:30 a.m. Man, I'm in a bad
You way. Call them every... No, I would call them like every 30 seconds with something so tiny. Like, "Kev, you said whatever I need."
I'm not exactly sure where I am, but there's an armed guard. Please.
I like the different ends of the spectrum. Stugatz wants trivial small things all the time.
Right.
Mike is going in with one big ask that no one has ever gotten in their life.
Yeah, I want to reach out to somebody I graduated high school with and be like, "Hey, 20 years ago when you said, hey, whatever you need."
I want to see how far I can push it because I'm LeBron and the Loves have vowed to always be there for the Jameses.
No.
Like, "Hey, Kev, I need a towel."
Signed your yearbook. Anything? If you ever need anything, hit me up. And like 40 years later.
Have you guys, Stugatz, you strike me as the kind of guy that says, "Hey, whatever you need" to people and absolutely doesn't mean it. Like,
of course. Yeah.
I don't do whatever you need. You know what I do? I say, "If you need anything, let me know." That doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
They never let you know.
But if they do, I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
I never said I was going to help you. I just said, let me know.
I'm going to go through my yearbook and just go through all the KITs and call those numbers and be like, "Hey, it's Mike. 20 years ago, you wrote in my yearbook, KIT. Well, this is me KITing.
You all right?
Keep
everything
it together?
Good? Oh, keep in touch.
Hey, it's Mike. This is me KITing.
Yeah.
Right.
I've held up my end of the bargain. 20 years have passed. Yeah. Right. I love once KIT.
I love when that you're on the opposite end of that, when people accuse you of not staying in touch. I'm like, did you call me? I'm sorry. Like,
phone works both ways.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. Boy, yeah.
But you're more front-facing. There's an expectation for you.
What? Why isn't...
Yeah, because
why?
Your television's Amin El Hassan.
So? Oh, so they're seeing me all the time.
Yeah, it's the implication that you should... Like, the onus is on you, given that things are going so well for you.
You know, I feel like this is a situation that I get into a lot, and it ends up being a great... That same lines, too. It's a great exit strategy. It's a two-way street. Because then all of a sudden I've shifted the focus on them and they realize, oh my God, the hypocrisy. Right. Oh, I love it. And I can see it. And truly it was me. I didn't want to contact these people. I don't want to stay in touch. But knowing I flipped it on its head and now I can exit with my head held high. It's tremendous, tremendous stuff, boys. I tell you what, I'm going to write a book one day.
Do you feel some sort of obligation because, you know, you're a visible guy and people know what you...
None whatsoever.
A little extra at the wedding or no?
Oh, if I go to the wedding.
Yeah, you got to bring it. Like, yeah.
I got to be in character. Yeah. I can't just show up to a wedding and be demure, I mean, sipping something. No, I have to be like, hey, life of the party.
Yeah. Right.
It's a tough life.
But in terms of gift, do you feel like you have to...
What's up? A gift. Oh, gift. I'm not good with gift.
Like, I get you bring the slide whistle. I get all of it, right?
Celebrities feel the need to overtip.
That's me. They're going for the grace of God.
You're a celebrity.
I feel I have to overtip.
Yeah.
I
heaven forbid that someone back at the Bennigans is like, wow, what Amin El Hassan, television's Amin El Hassan is a bad dipper.
I didn't tell the story. When I was in New York, a cab driver tried to not pick me up. I literally stepped out in traffic, so he couldn't go by. He told me, oh, I got a curb app appointment. That's one of those, it's like, Uber for taxis. And I said, show me the appointment on your phone and I'll get out of the way. He said, oh, I can't because it's mounted. And I said, my cousin's recording. He's coming to the side of the car. Show him and I'll get out of the way. He couldn't show it. So then we had like this standoff where he was like Tiananmen Square style. Like, I'm just like this. And he'll like try to move. And I'm like, move to the left, move to the right in front of him. Stood there for like 10 minutes having an argument with this dude.
I hate New York.
I said, one of three things is going to happen. Number one, you have a curb app appointment. You show me that appointment, I'll get out of the way. Number two, you let me in this car and you'll give me a ride. Number three, you say, I don't pick up black people, and then I'll get out of the way.
This has escalated.
It definitely escalated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you were playing a game of chicken in the middle of the street with a taxi cab, we were already there.
So I end up getting in the cab, right? On the way, I'm just giving it to this guy. It's like, this, it's illegal for you to do this.
You're actively fighting with a cab driver.
Not fighting. He's taking it because he's giving me lame excuses. Like, well, I had one, but then I canceled it for you. I'm like, you never mentioned that until we're in the car that you canceled the curb app appointment. I don't believe you, sir. I think you're full of shit. And I kept going and going.
People are tough with the partition.
At the end, tipped him 20%, you know, and I told him, I'm tipping. You know why? Because you think black people are cheap or whatever. I'm here to tell you, boom. Because I'm a nice guy, I'm a good guy, I'm tipping you. I'm also reporting your ass. Mm. Got out, was on the phone with 311 for an hour. Mm. An hour.
Was it worth it, or did you feel a little ridiculous after the hour?
The rare tip with a negative report.
Oh, yeah.
A man's life.
Did you say, I'm television's Amin El Hassan?
Absolutely. After in the car, I was like...
Wait till I say your name on the jump.
Oh,
that's what you were saying?
No, I said, I'm on the number one podcast.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I sure did. I dropped it.
On podcasts, Amin El Hassan.
Yeah, Del Lebatard Show. I said, you may not have heard of it, but trust me, millions have.
Wait till steak sauce is in your menchies.
Oh, my God. Who's steak sauce?
Huh?
Steak sauce.
A1 listener.
Yeah. Legendary listener.
Is that okay.
Yep.
All right. Is it like a Rosh? What happened to Rosh?
I don't know what happened to Rosh.
Arash.
Yeah. We had a good run with him.
He stopped taking the pandemic, I think.
Oh. And phone calls. Right.
Yeah, local hour kind of evolved, and then it never kind of went back to what it was. But Wake and Take was
Who
today.
Was the random college coach he would always have a go at?
PJ Fleck. Keep rowing.
PJ Fleck. He started every call with PJ Fleck. It was weird.
Rash was wrong about that. Fleck ended up being a decent coach for Minnesota.
Did he really?
That's why he hasn't called back.
Yeah.
Shame.
He was wrong.
He had a fascinating job too. He was like a snow sweeper in Toronto. He operated these machines that just were like snow blowers.
Yeah. But he's from New York. Wasn't Arash from New York?
He was definitely in Toronto.
Oh wow. This is my whole world.
I think it was Arash in New York. I think you're right.
I think it was a rash in New York, Mike.
I think we did have, we had David from Toronto. We had David from Toronto.
I'm so wow.
Yeah, that's a fun. Yeah, it's a fun.
This is so long.
It's just $2.
Well, this is what happens when they don't, when you don't keep in touch.
No. Wait a minute. Doesn't the, so the tip, David, doesn't that work against your argument with about the driver? Like, can't they look back and say, hey, you tipped this driver very, very well. Now you're calling to complain about the driver?
So David in Toronto had that snowblower that also blew garbage.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
$2.
So, Stugatz, I'm glad you asked that. My 311 report not only has my whole hour with an operator describing everything.
Right.
But we also submitted video proof. Sorry.
Look at you.
Sorry, guy, taxi driver. Should I drop his name and his medallion number?
But you tipped him.
I tipped him. I tipped him to prove a point, Stugatz.
Right.
I tipped him.
No, I understand that, but the tip could work against you.
No, it won't. Because I said it in my deposition. I said, and then I tipped him at the end just to show him I'm better than him.
Right.
Yes, that's right. If I make more money than you, I'm better than you. That's what I'm. Go ahead, get angry, Reddit. Rise up, Twitter. A meme thing. He's better than us. Yes, I am.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one, trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
You getting started on the breakfast flan?
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Do you have to tip the Uber driver? Because the tip is built in, right?
No, I don't tip them.
At the beginning of this stuff, you didn't. That was the whole thing of this.
Yeah, you don't have to tip them.
And now something happened along the way where it's kind of expected again.
I wonder what happened, Chris. What?
No, but it was before. Are you saying the pandemic?
Yes.
Dude, before the pandemic, they were trying to do this stuff with like, hey, now you can tip. There's always a tip option.
Well,
like,
that's
this
how
was,
they got.
They might be blaming it on the pandemic. This was in the works before the pandemic.
That's how they got you in the tent, though. It's like taxis, but you don't have to feel like you have to tip them. But the plan was always that you tip them.
And then they started doing these articles like, they don't actually make that much. So it's like, I'm going to start guilting you into tipping them. Even though, yeah, you don't have to. Remember, it's Uber. But they don't make that much, blah, 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 blah. So now, of course, I tip. And I tip now, but I do it for the driver. I hate the company.
Now it's gotten to the point that taxis, when you go to New York, taxis way better option
yes.
than Uber.
More available cheaper. And cheaper.
Way more cost effective.
Yeah. Yeah. And more fun to call.
Went to the airport, came back.
Taxi!
Yeah, no, yeah, fun, Chris. Unless you're standing right.
I've literally never called
of Seventh Avenue and trying to like
to America's.
I don't think I've ever called a taxi.
The first
it just
time
seems fun.
The first time I took Uber, I did that. I didn't know what I was doing.
Uber!
Yes, no, I was doing it.
You actually Uber! Thought you had to call Uber?
I just flagged one down. That's what I thought.
Oh my god, walking my dad on how to install Uber in his phone.
The first time I took Uber, I didn't even know what it was. I was with my cousin. This is in New York. And I say, oh, well, you want to get a cab? Or something? No, I got a car coming. I'm like, oh, you ordered a car service? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay. And then like a Camry rolls up and I'm like, dude, we're not getting in the back. Like, how do we know this stranger? Like, how do we know they're going to take us? And I said, what, do you pay him at the end? Or you like, what? We don't pay him at all. Like, no, it's already been done. Like, when? I didn't see you do anything. It blew my mind.
Yeah. It blew my mind, too. My first experience with Uber was in Austin, Texas. And I went with one of my friends. What do you know, Ibrahim? Being in New York, he knew about it. He was a man about town. He's a man about town. And like we hop in the car and he's in the front seat and he's there with a lady friend who will remain nameless.
Okay.
And they were just, you know, publicly displaying affection.
Wow.
And there's this person that's in the front seat. We're in some random Camry, as you put it. And it's just, wow, anything goes in these Ubers.
What are the rules on that?
Wait, by the way, Stugatz, I just want to say that Ibrahim is the friend that fell asleep throughout the entire trip that they took to England. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
The guy was asleep in every picture.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Okay.
What are the rules, Chris?
Yeah.
The rules?
Like, where's the line? Like, obviously, I can kiss my wife in an Uber.
Yes.
But obviously, I probably can't have sex in an Uber.
No.
Where's the line?
What's the in-between there is what you're asking.
I should mention that this was kissing, but I'm uneasy about public displays of affection.
Me too.
As I've gotten older, I've just become more and more conservative against that. To the point that, you know, it's like I say things in my head like, get a room. It's just I become like an old
person.
But like, where do you draw the line? Because your wife needs it. You need it occasionally, like hand holding. I mean, I feel like that's fine, right?
Coquita, that's fine.
Hugs.
How do you guys release? How do you know with your spouse when to release the handshake? I mean, the handshake, the holding of hands. It's everyone's the same, right? It's the squeeze.
Oh no!
You're holding hands. Walking into dinner. And it's like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. You give a little squeeze.
Oh no! The squeeze is like a double down, isn't it? Like,
no. I'm so for me and my wife, here.
The when squeeze. Hold on a second, because I'm with Amin. I think there are two types of squeezes. There is a squeeze that says no, stay right here.
Oh yeah, there's a pin,
and there's a squeeze that says get the
that's
hell out of here.
More of a hold. Yeah. I'm talking about this is quick. It's like purr, purr. Like
it's gotta be a double. It's gotta be more than one.
If she's holding on tight and not
hold up your hand so I can see it.
All right, I'm holding. Roy, hold my hand.
It's the best nonverbal communication a married couple can have is a hand squeeze.
It's like this. You're here, you're holding, and then this is when I want to release.
Oh, double
tap. Whereas
double
if my wife just clinches, then I'm like, okay.
There.
Well, no, that's then she's like there might be something she wants to
she's
hold
holding
on to.
She's holding on to, yeah,
the
for
quick
dear
double
life.
Double tap of a, that's, I'm done with this. I've had enough.
I get that.
Enough for me, Clive.
I get that. The hard extended squeeze is like, Clive. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
We gotta go.
Danger. It means danger.
Yeah, this person's weird. Or sometimes I do the double squeeze, like you find this person as funny as I do. Like,
that's accompanied with a head nod, though. That's with a head nod pointing in that direction.
It's multiple squeezes, like,
or also, just so you know, I'm not talking politics here, and this one goes in the pros column for Mike.
What's the squeeze you get when you're approaching an annoying couple and your wife knows it? You've had discussions about it before.
That's just when you turn in the opposite direction and start walking in the other.
No, she'll latch on to me for dear life. Like, don't you dare leave me alone with these people.
It depends if I know them well or not, because I can get a pretty good read on someone if I could be a sarcastic asshole directly to their face or not. Or I guess even some would say more of a sarcastic asshole.
Right.
I don't want to sell myself short, but then I'll just start saying things out loud in front of Cynthia, and she gets my sense of humor and just my general MO.
She knows what you're doing?
Yeah, she'll know when I'm making fun of somebody directly to their face.
But has she ever been like, Mike, a little too far, like knock it off? No?
Yes, and sometimes I do push the line, and I take everything as data, and I try to improve.
Data.
Really? Trying to improve.
Oh, I'm on a big self-improvement.
You'll give up on that.
Yeah,
at some point. Yeah. Right around 50.
Beta males like myself, we like to take it. We like to take in.
You said beta meals at first, by the way. Hungry.
I have been working out a bit about beta meals.
Have you? Yeah. What a weird bit to be working out.
Yeah. I mean, too many people in your mentions actually have their face on their avatar. Beta meals.
Keep working it out. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that the Atlanta Hawks, by getting Murray, Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. Is it
DeJounte? The J.
Wait, Mike, is it DeJounte?
DeJounte.
DeJounte or Deontay? I think it's DeJounte Murray.
No, he's not.
Murray!
It's DeJounte Murray? It's weird.
I believe you made him a mustard.
I did.
Before that, he made him Dijon? Like Scandinavian. DeJounte.
For the people, the uninitiated, how do we pronounce Murray's first name?
DeJounte Murray.
Okay.
Still sounds like a mustard.
Yeah. Well, not Dijon.
When you put it all together, DeJounte it sounds Murray. Like a fancy mustard. Like the name of the mustard is DeJounte Murray.
Oh, it's French. It does. Where they put
one
it.
Word, DeJounte Murray.
Murray.
I think you go just DeJounte there, no? You leave out the Murray?
I just always say mustard. Murray from the Spurs.
Right. Am I wrong in thinking like the Hawks, that's the best backcourt in the NBA, right? Trae Young and Murray?
Oh, God. Come on. No.
The best
Mike backcourt? Murray was really good last year.
He was. He was an all-star.
Yeah, he was an all-star.
He was a triple-double.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
feel like the Hawks got a lot better yesterday.
They did Stugatz, but do we have to do the best backcourt?
Are
the
you
NBA
doing
ranking?
Like the equal? Because any yes, backcourt that has Steph Actually, Curry, yeah. any backcourt that has Steph Curry on it is the best backcourt, right?
I don't know.
Would you? Let me ask you.
I know where you're going.
Trae Young or Murray? Trae Young and Murray versus Thompson and Steph Curry.
This Klay Thompson?
Yes, and this Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's pretty good.
This is not a hard question. It's Steph Curry.
I think
Thompson.
It's a tricky question, Mike. I do.
No, well, how are you approaching it? Collectively, are we this good? Or just individually, our name and reputation
let me submit another one. DeJounte Murray and Trae Young or Kyle Lowry and Victor Oladipo?
That one's easy for me.
Yeah, an easy one.
Trae Young and Murray from the Spurs. Okay. Even though he's on the Hawks now, I'm still
I wonder if Eric Spoelstra would have the same answer.
Well, I mean, the overall, why would the Spurs do that?
Because
they're tanking.
They got, first of all, yes.
But tanking for who? For what?
Victor Wembanyama. He's a big French
I'm
guy.
I'm so happy you're talking about this dude because he has like the best highlight reel I've ever seen for a prospect.
He's like this 7-foot French
When's he available? Next year?
Next year's draft, yeah. With like an 8-foot.
7-foot wing. Dangerous game. Knees.
What's his name?
Victor Wembanyama. Right, I believe
I think it's Wembanyama.
And so people are tanking for this guy?
Yeah. Yes. So it was thrown out there that Oklahoma City might keep kicking the can down the road with all their draft picks because they want to tank for next year, too, because they're so in on this number one pick. But apparently the consensus is that everyone is in on this number one pick because he's that good.
By the way, there's another kid coming out of the G League program named Scoot Henderson. He was actually in the G League Ignite program as a high school junior He forewent his high school senior year to play for the G League Ignite.
And then he went straight to the G League, earned some money, and now he's...
He basically did a two-year G League Ignite deal. And he's
Scoot flies, by the way.
Scoot flies, according to Tony, and Hoopers know.
Wouldn't you say Scoot can scoot?
No, because he's doing dunks that people can't even do in the dunk contest. Look up Scoot, and he does a dunk where it's almost like behind the back between the legs. It's incredible.
So he's Zion.
I'd go with Boston's over Atlanta's, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown.
I mean, we don't. All right, go ahead.
Defensive player of the year and Jaylen
Brown. I didn't mean to bring it there. I just felt like Atlanta got a lot better.
I might argue Cleveland.
Yeah.
No, Trae Young's better. No, but Cleveland, if we're projecting.
I mean, to Stugatz's point, there aren't too many backcourts that have two all-stars in it.
Right.
Chicago. I would take Lonzo and Levine.
Lonzo and Levine. Yeah.
You would not take those two.
I think I would.
No, you would not.
Yes,
you're just being silly. Over Trae Young and Murray?
But you're saying this like a
You would not take Chicago's backcourt over Trae Young and Murray.
Is Trae Young and Murray even better? Like, what's their ceiling? Are they better than when Portland had McCollum and Lillard?
Trae Young got to the Eastern Conference Finals without Murray.
Don't even talk to me about that Eastern Conference Finals.
He got there.
Don't talk to me about
that. But, Mike, that's not fair. I can say don't talk to me about the finals you made in the bubble. I mean.
I think this year kind of proved that the Hawks.
He made the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Hawks ECF appearance was kind of an outlier.
But not Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine. Come on. You would take Trae Young and Murray.
I would take Maxey and Harden.
I would take Luka and whoever the hell you got at the two guard.
Well, it's Brunson.
I take Luka and Brunson. I take Luka and Tim Hardaway Jr.
You would just take Luka, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a sport where you'd rather have the one guy than the two guys.
Yeah.
You'd rather have Steph Curry and blank over Trey and DeJounte because you have Steph Curry.
Phoenix. Easy. Yeah,
book CP.
CP, come on.
Don't do this.
Will you knock
You're
it
going
off?
With Murray, who you don't even know how to pronounce his first name. DeJounte. Over.
I mean, Phoenix is probably good for like another, with Chris Paul, another year or two, but that, like, long term, the Hawks backcourt.
Milwaukee, Holiday, and
well, that's a decent Middleton? One.
Well, right. I think they put Wesley Matthews.
Matthews is a three. See, I
well,
can,
who's their two?
Matt Middleton.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, just for the purpose of this argument.
Not according to the worldwide leader.
I mean, here I am thinking the Hawks could come out of the East because of this backcourt.
New
you
Orleans?
Guys seem to be like, I don't know.
McCollum.
And I think Whittingham's with me.
And Alvarado, yeah.
Well, they have Ingram. I'm going by worldwide leader here on depth chart.
Ingram's a four.
Listen, I will give you Steph and Clay, maybe.
Maybe. Wow.
You're not giving
Let's
me Phoenix?
Let's draw the line right there. No, I'm not giving you Phoenix.
I know you have the whole thing about him, but.
They won 60 games last year.
Phoenix did.
Phoenix,
64.
Yeah.
Okay.
But aren't you looking like 6 or 7 years down the road? Like, you Ooh. Want this for a long time. How long has Chris Paul got left?
The prompt was, is Murray and Young the best backcourt in the NBA? Not the best backcourt in the NBA in 5 years.
Yeah.
The best backcourt in the NBA at this moment in time. So I would agree with Mike. I think Phoenix is better.
Okay. In 5 years, it might be Detroit. Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey.
You love Detroit. No one loves Detroit more than Amin loves Detroit.
I'm telling you, I'm high. But Stugatz, because
they signed 2 Miami Hurricanes players undrafted.
I learned from you, Stugatz. I'm staking out this position now. So Excellent. When they get good, yep. I can point to multiple episodes. I was on them from basically, you know, second half of Cade Cunningham's rookie season.
Do you spread that out and like say it for a few teams?
I do. No,
you have to. Well, you better. You better.
I got a couple. I throw them out there.
Would you take Detroit's over Cleveland's next 5 years with their backcourt? Garland, Sexton. It's damn good. Why is Sexton always talked about as someone they might move?
Because they have Garland.
So redundancy?
Yeah.
He got hurt last year, though.
Sexton
right?
did, yeah.
And yeah, they also had Ricky Rubio. I thought that was when they were playing their best ball. I hope they bring him back.
I don't. I think they might.
Rubio's got good ball in it. I mean, like, he gets hurt. Rubio's a good player.
He's a good player.
Why do you have to say it like that, though?
Because
you're not 100% sure, right?
How do we feel about Steph Curry hosting the ESPYs?
I'm confused why these guys don't think Murray's very good.
I can't. No one said that.
No one said that.
I'm not certain.
Let's stay where you guys were. We'll
I'm
go
not
to Steph
certain
at
he should
ESPYs
be hosting
later.
The ESPYs. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I mean,
we'll do ESPYs later. Stay where you're at.
The guy's a triple double. I mean.
He's good. He's a very good player. He's an all-star.
You say he's good.
He's an
good.
All-star.
Hey, Ricky Rubio, I mean, you're drooling over.
Not quite drooling. No, it's a huge pickup for the Hawks. This because he's the perfect player to play alongside Trae Young. Trae Young is small, doesn't defend. Murray is a guy who defends guys that are bigger than him. Trae Young needed someone else who can make plays while he's not on ball or not on the court. Murray is a great playmaker. Yeah. So it is a great deal. They gave up a lot of picks for him, but Murray's contract is very affordable. I think he makes $33 million total over the next 2 years.
16.5 next year. That's cheap for a guy, 22 cheap. Points, 9 rebounds, super 8 assists.
Cheap. Super cheap.
It looks like they watched what went wrong against the Miami Heat, and they realized specifically what could alleviate that matchup problem.
And so they're a much better team. Now, the number of picks they gave up for them, particularly unprotected ones, I might feel a little skittish about it, but they felt the need to get a lot better right now, and they did that. And John Collins' deal is another one that's out there where it could happen. I'm not mad at it. I think it's a good deal for them. I think the Spurs definitely have shot up the tank standings, but it's Stugatz. You got them as the best backcourt in the NBA?
I mean, they're certainly in that discussion.
You got them. How good do you think the Hawks are going to be next year with the best backcourt in the NBA?
So they have Collins. They have Bogdanovich, right? Yeah, Pretty good player.
Yeah.
Capella's back,
yeah. Okongwu is playing better and more.
They went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago.
Yes, they did, yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised that that team is back in the Eastern Conference Finals.
So you got Miami, you got Boston, you got Milwaukee, and you got Philly, and Toronto's always tough, and Chicago, when they're healthy, they're tough, too, and Brooklyn, by the way, when they're healthy, they're pretty good, too. That's mm-hmm. 7 teams I just named right there.
Yeah.
You've got Atlanta beating all but one of them.
I could see Atlanta making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, for sure. Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, it's It's a really good backcourt, man.
It is a really good
and
backcourt.
And there are ancillary players.
They're,
I mean,
they are better. This deal makes them undeniably better right now. I'm just saying to you, it's tough in the East, man. Like I said, Boston, Milwaukee.
That changed quickly, by the way.
But Boston and Milwaukee will be there for sure. Miami, we strong feeling they'll be there. Philadelphia, I can't see how they can mess it up. Brooklyn, if they're healthy, that might be the best team in the conference.
Big if, right?
That's a big if, sure. Mm-hmm. Then Chicago, when healthy, they were the best team in the conference regular season-wise.
Right.
And Toronto's always there. And Cleveland, I forgot about, will be better. And Charlotte will be better. It's just crowd. It's hard for me to say DeJounte Murray, that's a piece that puts you in the NBA Final Four. I don't know.
We should have mentioned Memphis with backcourts.
Oh, yeah.
Bane and Ja.
Yeah.
I would take that one over Atlanta.
Giving you the people.
I'm trying to think if I should stake out the Hawks right now. That should be my.
Oh, see, there you go. Yeah. Hey, we should go around the room. Everyone pick a team right now that's like buy low, sell high later.
But the Hawks wouldn't be that team, right? I think people are now high in the Hawks.
I'm buying Detroit. I'm buying Detroit now.
With the exception of you and Mike, everyone seems to be excited about the Hawks.
Oklahoma City Thunder for me.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no,
you're probably doing some Heat stuff. And looking at it through the prism, the Murray stuff does improve the Hawks' chances. That series wasn't particularly close.
Right.
So they did get better. Do they close the gap? I don't think so. And also, I'm expecting that the Heat do something to improve their roster.
Right. Hmm. Right. We got to see how it all shakes out. Can we go back to the ESPYs talk now?
Yeah. We're done picking teams.
First, I want to just compliment you. Textbooks for broadcasting are going to be written today on your ability to fight through phlegm.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
You just are like their chapters will be written.
Yes.
Your picture will be in there. Like it is just chef's kiss.
Remember Game of Thrones? Remember Hodor? That's what's happening right now with the phlegm in my throat.
Like, but why? But
there's just a guy there. Hold the door. Hold the door. Hold the door. Hold the door. As the phlegm is just like, you see its leg kick out from behind the door, arms and stuff. It is right on the cusp, but it won't go. It's just giving me this nice little raspy voice that makes me think of Demi Moore and Ghost.
That makes sense. It does make sense. It does. But you are fighting through it like a champ. Yeah.
So what's the standard?
And that's coming from experience. I mean, you're really fighting through it in a way that I never have. I mean,
compliment.
But I'm wondering the source of said phlegm. Like that's my major concern. I'm sitting very close to you.
I haven't experienced any of it other than when I'm sitting down in the studio because it happened to be yesterday too. I don't know. No one noticed it. Yesterday it was happening. And then as soon as we're done, my voice sounded fine. For the rest of the day and the rest of the night, I've recorded Cinephobe. New episode is out today, by the way. The Cinefeud. We had a game show on Cinephobe between me and Zach Harper. Anthony Mays was the host. It was like Jeopardy. You could pick the dollar amount and stuff like that. And it's a great episode. Definitely check it out wherever you get podcasts. Cinephobe. But I recorded a new episode last night for our new month, which I think we've announced it's going to be Space Month, Space/Aliens Month.
Wow.
So it sounded fine. I went out last night, had dinner, sounded fine. Woke up this morning, had breakfast, sounded fine. Walk in the studio, sit down, mic turns on, and all of a sudden, the flame.
It happens.
My time to shine has come. The only way I can hold it back where you can't tell is if I use the movie guy voice for the entire show.
Right.
A little creepy, though.
It suppresses the phlegm, though.
It does.
It does.
It's like it's scared of this voice. Oh, my God. guys, sit down. He means business. That's what the phlegm is saying to each other in there.
So what is the standard for athletes hosting the ESPYs?
Like the gold standard?
Yeah. Like Peyton Manning did well, right?
John
Cena.
John Cena count? Cena would be the best.
Was he the best?
John Cena.
I'm not remembering any like opening monologue from him. I remember Manning's opening monologue being good.
I've never told you my ESPY story.
I don't think so.
Oh my God. This is
why I brought it up just for you to do this.
Wait, Cena was good though?
Okay, so that was my first ESPYs I'd ever went to. What's up? Oh, that was the first ESPYs I've ever been to, right? I go.
And that was my first ESPYs.
And I go there and he's hosting, right? So we go in and there's the bars are all open and you're going in there and people are buying you stuff. And like, I love your work. I'm like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And like, and I'm here with two of my, like, well, one of them was actually Andrew Schultz. So at the time, me and Andrew Schultz and our other buddy, John, we thought we had like successfully pitched and picked up a program with ESPN. So I was like, this is very exciting. Connor Schell had given us like, hey, you guys want to go to the ESPYs? We're like, do we? Everything's going great. So this is like a time of great celebration. Started at the JW Marriott lobby across the way, continued into the Microsoft Theater. Everything's awesome. At some point, someone comes in and says, okay, places everybody, because it's a TV show. They want the crowd looking nice and full. So they close all the bars and usher everybody into the theater. I'm a little upset. I want to keep drinking, but whatever. Sit down. We have seventh row seats. Like, these are really good seats, right? John Cena comes out and he starts doing the monologue. And it's a monologue, right? It's not stand-up, right? But I'm such a jerk. I'm upset that everybody's laughing so hard at these jokes that I decide to wait when all the laughter dies down and then go, ha, 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 I get it. And then explain the joke very loudly. I did this several times.
That's what?
During a televised show?
You heckled him. Wow.
I didn't heckle him. He couldn't hear it, but like definitely maybe you might hear the after effect of my laugh. The explanation wasn't as loud. It was just, I turned that show. Schultz, I'm like, oh, it's because Cleveland's not a fun place to go. Like, I would just kept doing that. And people in my section were like, who is this guy, right? So you can't get up from your seat until the first commercial break. So I'm getting antsy. Like, I just want to get back out there, right? I just want to get back out there. I'm in the aisle.
And continue to fuel this already bad judgment.
Oh, yeah. So watch this. So stage manager comes out, and we're in break. And so I'm in the aisle. I have one leg already on the aisle. I pivot, turn, and I take three swift steps up the aisle because I'm thinking the rush to get to these bars is going to be unbelievable. I don't want to be waiting in line. I want to catch this show, right?
How long is this segment? Like, how long have you guys?
How long is the
commercial one that we're in right now presently?
Yeah.
Too long.
Right.
So three strides up, something tells me, turn around and look behind you. And I look back. And I am literally the only person in this 6,500-person auditorium who's up and walking. And everyone is staring at me like, why does it look like he's evacuating for a fire or something? It was so awkward. I was like, oh, my God. So I go out there, and eventually people start trickling out and you know, start buying drinks or whatever. So I go back in. I said, let me watch the show, man. I came here to watch the show. I go there, and they're doing In Memoriam. All the people who passed away over the last year. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so sad. And then after that, they come out with this kid who was a high school football player who died when there was a drive-by shooting and he threw his body in front of his classmates and his friends. And they lived, but he passed away. So it was his mom and his two brothers. And they were accepting this posthumous award. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so sad. And then it was Craig Sager coming out. And Craig Sager at the time, the cancer had been advanced, and it's like, this is Craig Sager doing the Stuart Scott. Like, I'm not going to be here much longer. And I fell into this deep depression that when we went to break, I got up, I left, I never walked back in. And that's my SP story.
Seems like alcohol really took its toll there. Yeah. Got you thinking that your ideas were good when they were not, and then inevitably depressed you.
Oh, no, the ideas were great. I didn't wait in the line to get a drink.
What was the show that almost got greenlit?
It was, you know, it's funny because it was supposed to be like Style Police, but we would be making fun of what athletes were. This is back when it was just starting that people were dressing more flamboyantly and outlandishly. And so we pitched this to ESPN. We're like, and a couple places
breaking
were like,
down their fashion.
Nobody
choices.
Care. No, like nobody cares about what they're wearing. I'm like, trust me, they're going to care. So the idea was we were going to sit there and we finally arrived at this. The part that got greenlit was the Undefeated had just launched and they had like a style correspondent. So like, what if we paired you two with her? She actually knows the fashion stuff and can tell you this is from the fall catalog of collection of Ralph Lauren or whatever. And then we were just making jokes and being silly. And so it was all good. And then everybody ghosted us. And that was the end of that idea.
Did Schultz stay?
I mean, no, Schultz went on to become one of the biggest comedians in the world. I could have been doing a show with
Schultz.
Him. Schultz.
I think he's got a podcast, right? Yeah, some podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
Who doesn't?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think
about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.